Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. This is the Wednesday, September 11th edition. My name is Sean Coleman, and I am glad to be joined again by Grant Hall. Grant, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Sean. How are you?
Doing good. Well, we're recording the night before coming to you for September 11th, so it's nice to talk with you. And Grant, I'm doing well. You know, Grant, I certainly don't want to start off on a somber note, but I do feel like it's important to talk about it just because of the day that it is. 18 years ago, we do sports podcasting. We love me, you, Mark, several others. You know, this is something that we do because we love sports. We are passionate about the Grizzlies. We are, you know, we love the freedom to be able to cheer and enjoy life, and this brings us joy. Well, 18 years ago today, that freedom was attacked. You know, I'm not going to get political and things like that. I typically try to avoid that, but I do feel that it is important to certainly pay respects to those who lost their lives, pay respects to those who, sacrificed their lives, and those who put their lives on the lines afterwards to protect our freedoms. Grant, when you look back, 18 years ago, again, not to, delve into this too far, but, where were you? What was going on when you, in that moment, when you found out about the attacks on 9/11?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely remember it just like I'm sure any other person in America does, where they were and what exactly was going on. I was in the eighth grade, and I remember the school called us all into the auditorium to kind of make an announcement, and that was something that they never really did before, so they brought everybody in. And they didn't really go into a lot of detail. I think, we were still in middle school. I kind of look back. I wish they would have kind of gave us more information at the time. They kind of just told us that some planes had crashed into some buildings in New York, and that was kind of where they left off. And so us as kids, we didn't really understand it at the time. Even as eighth graders, they didn't really show us anything on TV at what was happening. I know a lot of people, while they were in school at that time, maybe in high school, they were got to see some of that news coverage live. So really didn't make a lot of sense to us until we got home, and then our parents were watching TV, watching the news, and then that's when it really sank in. And so it was just kind of a big shock. We take everything for granted here in America with our freedom and all that. So, and it's crazy that it's been 18 years. It's kind of flown by. And so, I do think it's important that us, that we as a country, kind of look back on that. And like you say, honor the people that, that passed away, trying to save the people from those buildings, all the first responders. It's important that we remember them, and also to teach the new kids. I'm a school teacher, and a lot of the kids, in school, they're not learning this type of stuff, and so it's important to make sure that memory is kept going on forward, and just for us not to take our freedom for granted, for sure.
I myself was in 10th grade. I went into my driver's ed class, and I can tell you that I had never experienced before what I did there. I walked into class, and the whole room was quiet. Like, I had that class with several of my friends that I still am friends with today, and it was just crazy. They were all listening to the radio, all in disbelief, went to the next class and was watching it on TV. And it was one of those things to where it was one of those true moments. I think probably the moment in life that I can honestly say felt like I was watching a movie, but yet it was real. Like, this wasn't made up. This was something that was impacting us, to a level that had not happened before. And so it was just, it was amazing to see it live, just such a somber, surreal experience. But two things about it is that it's been 18 years since this occurred. It's simply amazing how much time has flown by. But the fact that it's been 18 years, the fact that myself and Grant now have basically seen more than half of our lives go by since it occurred, it reminds you of two things. Grant's right. We do take life for granted. And as you grow older, you don't realize how fast life goes by. That's number one. Number two, you also don't realize how at any moment it could be threatened or it could be over. And so it is no one ever wanted for it to be this type of on this scale of a reminder. But Grant is a father of two. I am married to a wonderful woman myself. Just give him a hug. Simply talk to him. Simply share a moment with him, because you never know when it's going to end. But that's not what you should focus on. What you should focus on, moments like September 11th, should be looked at, no matter how negative it is. It should be, kept as a positive also at times, to remind you, don't take life for granted and enjoy every moment that you're given, because it truly can change in a heartbeat, and there's nothing you can do to prevent that. So just that's the biggest takeaway. Obviously, remember those who have fallen, honor them. Certainly respect those who have sacrificed their lives since then. But really focus on, those that mean the most to you, and just, use it as a reminder to spend every moment that you can, because every moment you get with them is special. So just wanted to kind of shed spotlight on that with the day that it is, and as we do every year, I'm sure that this country will honor, the moment and the people, and then we will move on and hopefully continue to move in a positive direction. But the reason why we're here is we want to talk a little basketball. And so, obviously, as we mentioned yesterday, we're kind of in that time of the year where there's not a lot going on. So one thing that is fun that is going on right now is football, and it just started up. Grant and myself are in a few fantasy leagues when it comes to football. Different types of fantasy leagues. Grant's very talented at it, so am I. But we wanted to talk some fantasy basketball, because right now is a time when a lot of fantasy basketball leagues are going on. And the Grizzlies, despite, what's different about this year than the past couple years, is that the Grizzlies are a very intriguing fantasy team. And so just want to talk with about the Grizzlies from a fantasy perspective. If you're a fantasy basketball player, obviously you'd love to have a Grizzly or two on your team, being a Grizzlies fan as well. What could they offer? How should you target them? And so we're going to discuss that a little bit. So Grant, I'm going to ask you this question. Back when, I know that you have not played, fantasy basketball religiously, but back when you did play over the years, is there a Grizzly that you typically tried to target that you felt made the most sense for your team?
Well, I mean, I guess back when I played the most, it would have had to have been Zach Randolph. I mean, I know I'm super biased when it comes to Z-Bo. He's probably my all-time favorite Memphis Grizzly. But, Zach Randolph is going to get you the points and the rebounds. And also, he's one of the few big men, at least at that time, that could hit some outside shots. And so you kind of, in fantasy basketball, you got to kind of spread around those stat categories. You got to get your points, but you also got to get the assists and the rebounds and stuff like that. So Z-Bo was one I always try to get on my roster, because I know he was going to put up 20 and 10 on a consistent basis. Marc Gasol is another one, especially a little bit. He kind of hit his peak a little bit after Z-Bo. He was always He might not have been pulling down the rebound numbers that Zach was, but he was getting his points, and his assists were up as well for a big man. So whenever you can get a big man that can give you that boost with the assist numbers, it's always big in fantasy.
For me, it was Marc Gasol, and the reason why that is because Marc Gasol was a unique talent who could get you. He can contribute across the board. He's my all-time favorite Grizzly. I love Zach Randolph just like the next guy, but I think that Marc Gasol was the closest thing to a true superstar that the Grizzlies had, and so he was someone that I definitely targeted in terms of what he could provide. But you bring up Zach Randolph, and I think that that's a very good starting point when it comes to fantasy this year, because I feel like that the one player that will be most consistent for fantasy owners when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies this year is Jonas Valanciunas, who probably is the closest thing that the Grizzlies have had to a prime Zach Randolph. I'm Zach Randolph himself, obviously. Jonas Valanciunas likely is going to be the most statistically dominant person on the Grizzlies this year. If he can continue the success that he had in March, as a just a great source of points and rebounds, it's going to be very, very hard not to see him be a value right now in fantasy leagues. Right now, he's being looked at as around the 20th center, potentially to be taken off the board. I'm here to tell you, I don't think he'll be top 10, but I think he easily could push top 15. The reason being is because I truly feel like he is probably one of the more automatic double-double machines. Since he's going to be in a featured role in the Grizzlies, he's going to be about as automatic for a double-double as anybody else in the league. Plus, he has the potential to where he'll really be able to contribute to a level where he could carry a category for you, you know, either in rebounding or points. Plus, you want to throw in blocks, high field goal percentage. He's not going to necessarily hurt you that much with free throws. I really think Jonas Valanciunas is a value there. Grant, what I will ask is this, though, is that when you have built fantasy teams, what strategy do you go with? Do you try to get, you know, someone who can contribute in all stat categories, you know, with your first several picks? Do you try to focus on guys who can be statistically dominant in a few categories? What's your focus typically?
I mean, usually with my first pick, you kind of got to just go with the best available. I mean, you want in a perfect world to have somebody that's going to get you kind of boost your points in all the categories possible. But I always try to get – anytime I'm looking for a big man, I want to get someone who's not going to kill my free throw percentage. Someone like a DeAndre Jordan might be getting you a lot of blocks, but killing your free throw percentage. So – I'm trying to get someone that I can spread around the to the different stat categories. And, you know, speaking of Valanciunas, I mean, he's going to be, like you're saying, a 20 and 10 guy, but he's not going to hurt your free throw percentage as a big man. He can even spot up and hit some threes from time to time. He's not going to win you in that category, but he's not going to hurt you too much either. But he's also going to get you a block and a half, as what he did with the Grizzlies last year. I don't expect him to put up the exact numbers he did with the Grizzlies at the end of the year last year, just because he didn't get to play a lot with Jaren Jackson Jr. So I think his numbers might come down a little bit, but I still think he can give you 15, 16 points a game and close to 10 rebounds a game, which was what he was doing. And, you know, I think he's going to be the one bringing down those rebounds for the Grizzlies. Hopefully Jaren Jackson Jr. get those numbers up. But I think Jonas is going to be someone who can really kind of help spread your points all around to all the different categories.
So there's been an onset recently over the past 3 to 5 years, especially in football, where you now have dynasty leagues. These leagues where you have a draft 1 year, but then you draft a roster that you can control for several years into the future. Obviously, what we call redraft is the 1 year and then you're done leagues. And so I think that that's the thing about this Memphis team, Grant, is that there is more dynasty value with this team right now than there truly is redraft value. And the reason why that is because you've got a bunch of young players who are only going to get better in time, so they're going to have more redraft value going forward. But we talked about Jonas, probably on a 3 to 5 year focus. I think that he could be, you know, a top 15 center. So someone that you probably could take, I would say, towards the middle single rounds, you know, maybe in that, probably around that, you know, 75 to 90 range, he would be a good pick. But obviously, the next person to really think about is someone on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, and that's Ja Morant. Right now, Ja Morant's being viewed as the 26th point guard. Now, I don't think that that means that he's the 26th best point guard in the league. You've got a lot of different players who, based on their positioning, that they've got multiple positions that they play. So they may not be a true point guard, but they are considered that in fantasy. But Ja Morant is someone to target, you know, especially late in redraft, and I think in the mid rounds in dynasty. And a few reasons why are this. Number one, he's going to get touches. That's the thing about it. Running backs are, the point guards in basketball are kind of like the running backs in basketball. They're going to produce based off opportunity because they get touches. And I think that Ja Morant is the type of guy who he either is going to be a specialist to help you out, who can win you an assist category week in and week out, but he also has the potential to grow as a scorer. Don't necessarily expect for him to be a really big positive when it comes to the percentages of those percentage statistics as he learns how to shoot. But I do think that he could be a good source of a few double-doubles in points and assists on a nightly basis. Grant, your thoughts on Ja Morant. Do you feel like it makes sense to take him above some of the, you know, older, more established point guards because of the fact that he has a high ceiling he could reach quickly?
Yeah, I think it definitely makes sense. I'd probably be a little bit nervous in a redraft league if I'm not taking him super late in my draft. If I'm taking him towards the end of the draft, kind of as a sleeper pick, I think he's got great potential there. But you kind of hinted on his, you know, his percentages, field goal percentage, free throw, and 3-point. You know, early on in his career might not be able to help your team too much. But I do think he's a great sleeper candidate for redraft. If I'm starting a dynasty league, however, right now, then John Morant's someone that I actually would probably kind of reach on a little bit just because of his potential of where his career could go. So I definitely think in redraft he's someone that's worth a sleeper pick kind of towards the end. Now if you're in a draft with a bunch of Grizzlies fans, someone probably is going to reach on him a little bit too early, and I wouldn't want to be that person. But in a dynasty, he's someone I would probably want to target. Not too early, but I'd probably reach a little bit on him just knowing what his ceiling could be and for his career.
And yeah, I think that if he's the third or fourth point guard on a deep roster that, you know, is a bench fill-in type guy on off nights, I think that that's the perfect role for him to start in. I do eventually think that he's going to be a top 15 fantasy guard just because of his ability to score at the rim and also get to the free throw line. Plus, his assists, that's one thing that he's a lead in, and it's hard to find assists a lot of times in fantasy. Focusing on the point guard position, though, I do think Tyus Jones could definitely carry some value, especially if the Grizzlies explore a two-guard setup with him and Ja Morant some this year. I think he could have sneaky value, someone that could really be focused on as a really late, maybe last pick of the draft type guy. I feel that he has enough efficiency about him to truly be able to, if the Grizzlies are going to give him a bigger role than he had in Minnesota, I think he could be a sneaky value in terms of someone that you could pick up late in the draft. Obviously, the biggest guy that to really focus on in redraft and dynasty is Jaren Jackson Jr. I think that Jaren Jackson Jr., without a doubt, is a top 50 pick in dynasty drafts, maybe top 75 redraft, probably still top 50. But Jaren Jackson, he's right now being ranked as the 30th power forward in the league. And I think the reason why that is because he is more of an across-the-board contributor than he is a dominant contributor in a few categories. And a lot of times you want to find dominance in a few categories from your power forwards. But make no mistake, Jaren Jackson Jr., for a center, potentially power forward his size, being able to shoot, being able to provide threes, being able to provide the scoring ability, being able to provide the boon to percentages, it's hard to find. He is a little bit of a downgrade when it comes to the things such as rebounds and assists, but he more than makes up for it with the defensive contributions, such as blocks and steals. I think that the all-around game of Jaren Jackson Jr. is very attractive. But the dominance is something that, you know, still may be a few years away. Grant, does it make sense for Jaren Jackson Jr. to be the first Grizzly off the board in most draft setups just due to his potential alone for this year and beyond?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Whether it's redraft or dynasty, I feel like he's got to be the first Grizzly, you know, off the board. In redraft, I mean, he's already come out in his rookie year, shown what he's capable of doing. I think that, you know, I'm hoping that he's going to come out this year and not have as much foul trouble as he did in his rookie season. And I think that's going to help him stay on the floor for more minutes per game. And that's really going to help boost his fantasy value. Even if he wasn't to improve on his, you know, per 36 minute stats, if he was just on the floor more, that's going to boost his value. But we're going to see him improve across the board. At least hopefully that's what we're all hoping as Grizzly fans, of course. But we got to expect to see him improve across the board on all his stats going into his second year. You know, he averaged almost 14 points a game in his rookie year with only about 26 minutes a game. If he can get on the floor another 6-7 minutes, I think we could see him close to 17, 18, maybe 19 points a game going into his second year. And of course, he's going to give you those blocks. He already is averaging almost a block and a half a night as a rookie. And, you know, like you were saying, for a big man, his rebound numbers are low. So that's something that we're hoping that we can, that he is going to improve on, and especially from a fantasy value a big man not getting a lot of rebounds, it can hurt you a little bit, but he's going to fill in some stats elsewhere, like you were talking about with the defensive stats with the steals and blocks. And of course, as a big man, it's going to stretch out and hit the three. I mean, he hit 36% of his threes last year. So that's quality there for a guy like him. And so in Dynasty, I think the sky's the limit. I mean, I know I talked about taking a reach on Ja Morant. I'd probably do the same thing with Jaren Jackson Jr., just kind of thinking about what his potential is as his, you know, in the future in his career. I just think the sky's the limit for him. So yeah, definitely the first Grizzly, though, off the board in any format for me.
A couple of other names to really look at. Kyle Anderson, someone that probably will get minutes as the year goes along. Again, there are several theories out there of, you know, how does Kyle Anderson fit with this team? And I think that he does fit with the team in terms of his skill set. But I also think that, you know, I've written a couple of articles about facilitation over at Grizzly Bear Blues. I kind of think that the Grizzlies long term are going to be better off with a pure shooter scorer in Kyle Anderson's role. But for now, they're going to use him as a secondary facilitator, maybe to see what they can do with Ja Morant off the ball and other players off the ball. Therefore, I think Kyle Anderson is someone that definitely has a role on fantasy teams, especially in a couple of different ways. If your fantasy league puts a lot of value on defense, Kyle Anderson's going to help you out. If your fantasy league in basketball is one that has a lot of advanced analytic type categories, Kyle Anderson's going to help you out. His intelligence is the reason why he's so successful. I think in just all honesty, the more intelligent or creative your league is, I think the more valuable Kyle Anderson is going to be for you. Not necessarily as a starter, but as a bench player. He's not going to score you that many points. He's not going to necessarily be a negative when it comes to your my percentage categories. But I think Kyle Anderson is a sleeper if he can come back and be healthy. Brandon Clark, dynasty only. At this point, I think that he could show some great things off the bench. Just don't think he's going to get enough opportunity to really be a redraft. Do think he will be a redraft darling going forward. And as far as other Grizzlies go, there is an opportunity out there, like Dylan Brooks and Josh Jackson, Bruno Caboclo, Jay Crowder, you know, all those different names. There is the potential to where they could be good waiver wire additions as the season goes along. And that's where we'll end with on this, is that I really think that this Grizzlies team, I don't think that you're going to find a lot of value from, you know, drafting. I don't think that that any of the Grizzlies are going to be looked back upon for fantasy basketball championship teams. They're not going to look at the Memphis roster as, well, this was a team that provided me with a player that I drafted that helped me out. But I think that this roster is a good source of waiver wire additions that me and Grant both know are a big reason why you win a championship. It's finding the right guys to add as the season goes along. So I think that the Grizzlies on the surface may not be one of the more favorable fantasy producing rosters out there, but in general, I think offer a lot of potential, you know, given the right situation. Coming back into the second part of this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, me and Grant are going to dive into some promotion ideas. Obviously, a lot of excitement around the Grizzlies due to their roster, but what ways can the Memphis Grizzlies improve the game night opportunity for fans, you know, in a city that really could offer, you know, being a one-of-a-kind, you know, night out on the town to enjoy basketball across the NBA? We'll be right back here with you on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And one of the reasons why me and Grant met about a year ago, again, through a fantasy football league that we are involved with Mark King. And the first thing I remember about Grant is how passionate he was about the Grizzlies. I thought I was passionate. Grant basically bleeds Bill Street blue. And I'm not exaggerating. But Grant, you know, want to spend a few minutes talking about the game night experience, how it can be improved. I think that the Grizzlies do put a lot of effort into their promotions, but sometimes it's not the most effective. So, you know, what do you feel about the game night experience, Grant? Do you feel, you know, it's gotten better over time in some ways, it's gotten worse, or it doesn't compare what it used to be?
Yeah, so I think that's an interesting question. I mean, like you said, I definitely I bleed the Bill Street blue. I go first and foremost, I go to the games to watch the team play. So I've never been one who's just going to be
necessarily upset about a promotional night, but there's definitely been some giveaways that I've always said I need to make it to this game, you know, an hour, hour and a half early to make sure I, you know, I get this this giveaway, this Zach Randolph Mount Grismore giveaway night. You know, I think early on when the Grizzlies first came to Memphis, it kind of wasn't like the big thing back then. Kind of in the early 2000s for the themed nights and stuff like that. You know, now we have the wrestling nights, the Star Wars night. Those things weren't really going on, but they did have some pretty cool giveaways. I mean, my favorite Grizzlies collection came from that inaugural season when they came here to Memphis in 2001. I've got all the bobbleheads from that first year. I still remember getting my Michael Dickerson bobblehead in the first season when the Golden State Warriors came out to the pyramid. Jason Williams put out his career high 19 assists, and I remember it was Michael Dickerson bobblehead giveaway, and that was the reason I wanted to go to that game, and it ended up being a great game, one of the Grizzlies' few wins that year. But as the years have gone on, I mean, I think they've got some good giveaways. I think some things I feel like could be improved, but I feel like the game atmosphere is great. I think the Grizzlies are one of the better teams as far as kind of like the music selection that they put out there. I think, you know, whoever's running the DJ has got some good music that gets played. Grizz does a great job, I feel like, especially when we get into the playoffs, you know, getting the crowd into it. I think they come up with some great ideas or some stuff that isn't always necessarily for everyone, but I do think there's some great stuff that they do as far as that goes. I do kind of wish they would revert back to some of those old school giveaways, like those bobbleheads. I would love to have me just like, you know, one of those, you know, heavy duty Zach Randolph bobbleheads, you know, collection of that. I love the Mount Grismore. I think that was one of the cool giveaways, but I'd also just love a Core Four collection of bobbleheads. I think if they, you know, kind of like the old school ones they used to do.
I'm a big Funko Pop collector. I collect comic book characters through Funko Pop. I'd love for them to do it for the Grizzlies. I think that would be, you know, a lot of fun. One thing you said that I do agree with, because, you know, me and you, some of our most memorable games, I think that, you know, I've been to 7 or 8 playoff games. I know you've been to, you know, two or three times that. But I will give a credit to, for instance, Dustin Starr, Maria Starr, the other Grizz Game Day crew. They do a lot of good work, and that comes natural for Justin with Dustin, with him being a, you know, a wrestler himself, an entertainer. You know, he does a great job hosting the night, and that's where it begins. You know, it all begins with him, and he does a great job on that. I do agree with you. I think that some of their promotions, they've kind of overkilled, like the wrestling night last night and things such as that. I like the idea of them trying to create a wrestling show during a basketball game, but it got kind of redundant after a while. Let's not kid ourselves. One of the best giveaways in the history of the Grizzlies is the championship belts. But I do feel like that it's obvious that with Zach Kleiman focusing on the roster and the moves to make the franchise's future better on the court, Jason Wexler, I think, does have a pulse on things to make things better off the court. And so just some ideas for promotions that really could make these, you know, situations, you know, better. And I want to start off with those giveaways. I think that it makes a lot of sense. They've done good, like the Tony Allen Star Wars, the Grismore, things like that. But continuing to focus on giveaways that are specific to Memphis, you know, some really cool things, you know, like, you know, maybe doing a Jaren Jackson Jr. Elvis impersonator, a bobblehead night, or something like that, a Jonas Valanciunas replica beard night, you know, something along those lines to where they promote the individuality of the players that are there, but they also tie in Memphis itself. And I know that you were a fan of the giveaways. You know, really when it comes down to those giveaways, Grant, you know, there's a lot of memories there. But can you think of anything that, you know, they have not given away before that you think may make some sense?
I mean, I think anytime that you can, like you were saying, tie in something to one of the players and tied into Memphis, like the James Johnson neck tattoo, is obviously that wasn't something that you hold on to forever. Like I wore my neck tattoo proudly that night as James Johnson was dunking it off the backboard against the Clippers. But I would love to see some more unique ideas like that that kind of tie in to our new players. We got some new players coming in. I really love the Jonas Beard night. You know, I think that would be hilarious to see the crowd wearing some Jonas Valanciunas beards all throughout the crowd. And so it's kind of hard to know what exactly we can tie in with some of our new players as we kind of get to bring them into the city and start to know them more. I think the only thing that I could come up with off the top of my head for the new guys was like a chili cheese fries night, because that's what they got ragged on for eating at the NBA Summer League. So if we could just hand out a voucher for everyone to get chili cheese fries for the, you know, maybe it's the Get Lit Chili Cheese Fries night for John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Everybody gets a voucher, and then the entire crowd is just eating chili cheese fries, watching, you know, John Morant throw alley-oops to Jaren Jackson Jr. I just anything unique like that, I think, is great. And I think the Grizzlies and staff will come up with those things. They did the Grizz fanny pack last year, which, you know, those are kind of making a comeback, whether you're a fanny pack wearer or not. I think it's just a hilarious giveaway. So I kind of have trust in them to do that. But, yeah, I think just something that ties into players with those unique ideas, I think, are always great ideas.
So with anybody who has Twitter, obviously, if you follow Dwayne The Rock Johnson, there is his iconic photo from 25 years ago where he is leaning up with a very tight-fitting sweater where he's wearing a fanny pack and he tries to make it look cool. Well, over the past 12 months, there have been multiple occasions where one Grant Hall took his Grizzlies fanny pack and tried to, you know, make it happen again, tried to make himself as iconic as The Rock. He failed horribly, horribly. But the fact is that, hey, that's what it inspires. It's a cool idea that makes a lot of sense. But I think you hit the nail on the head, though, when it comes to the chili cheese fries. I feel like Memphis needs to do more promotions beyond wrestling that promotes the city of Memphis. And what better to do than food? Why not have different nights where you have cook-off competitions or you promote, you know, the different flavors of the city? Kind of like, you know, who could a chicken wings night, like they have it at Wing Fest, you know, promoting Wing Fest. Have a cook-off that night. Best pizza in town. You know, best barbecue in town. I think that could be a lot of fun, and it would make people come, and it's not something that's going to – it's food. You're not going to overkill food. So I think that's one thing about it. One of the great things about Memphis is it's such a diverse place for food. So promoting food is something that I feel makes a lot of sense. Grant, I know with your experiences at the games, you've probably come up with a few ideas. What's another idea for you as far as a promotion that makes sense that would you think would really, you know, make for an interesting concept that would draw people to the FedEx Forum?
Yeah, before I answer that question, I do want to go off of your food night thing. It's almost a crime that Memphis doesn't have a barbecue night.
Agreed.
You know, we have the rest. Yeah, we've got the wrestling nights, and you mentioned we feel like there's been a little bit of overkill last year. I don't think we should get rid of it completely. I think it should go back to that one night.
Yeah.
But we've got to have a barbecue night. Like, I mean, I, like you said, anyone's going to show up to eat food. I mean, I'm going to make sure I'm going to barbecue night if they have a barbecue night, where I can go try four, five, six different restaurants barbecue. But yeah, so I think one idea that I really think would be cool, and I almost expect the Grizzlies to do it at this point, was just kind of some of the stuff that they come up with. But as we all know, they're bringing back the Vancouver jerseys this coming season, which was a huge hit around Grizz Nation. I think most people are excited to see the turquoise Vancouver jerseys making a comeback. I know it's one of the most popular jerseys kind of across all of the NBA, NBA fans. But those jerseys were in the 90s, and so the 90s kind of was a flashy time when it came to NBA jerseys. And I feel like those nights that we wear those, I feel like there's got to be a 90s night somewhere in there. And I don't know if they're giving away the jerseys or they get to give away maybe a starter jacket or a windbreaker. And, you know, I'm sure in the 90s, Sean, that you were wearing your windbreaker. I know I had mine. I was wearing to elementary school and middle school every year. So I think if we could get a 90s night where they give away kind of the old school Vancouver Grizzlies windbreakers, would be fantastic. Everyone wearing their windbreakers to the game.
Yeah, and I mean, you could do 90s music. You could do. I mean, you know, I'm sure that they're most popular music around here. You could the Grizzlies could do different promotions. Maybe do some famous commercials back from the 90s that are promoting current day products. Those type of things. I agree with you completely. I think that the you can, maybe can get a 90s star from Memphis who could come back and, you know, promote something. That's a good concept. I think that that's a good way, a good business awareness of building off a good idea with the jerseys and continuing to build off of it, you know, maybe even making it a multiple, you know, night event. Another thing that I thought of was, again, promoting, you know, an underrated characteristic of Memphis is the land of opportunity that it is. I think that one thing that you could do as a promotion at Grizzlies game, turn it into an audition for different things. One night, perhaps, maybe make it like The Voice, you know, where you've got, you know, a different musicians in a specific genre. You know, they get the chance to have a competition. The crowd decides who wins. Get that person a gig somewhere on Bill Street. Do a comedy night. There are so many opportunities during a basketball game where you've got a 2 or 3 minute interval to kill. Bring in 3 to 5 comics, aspiring comics. Give them the chance to stand up on that stage and be able to present what they can do and see maybe if they can, you know, how the crowd reacts. That person gets a gig at a comedy club. You know, just among other things, do a chef night if you wanted to. Aspiring chefs in Memphis, let them come in, make meals, and let it be judged. They get a gig somewhere, you know, to potentially make a career out of it. I think that's a unique thing that you don't see at a lot of NBA stadiums that really could promote not only Memphis, but the Grizzlies, and also could make them, you know, it could be something you could build on. It could be a multi-year thing going forward, you know, these audition nights where you truly are helping fans take the next step, you know, in their lives. And I think that would draw, you know, people to the game. Any other ideas, Grant, that you have that you feel just, you know, would make the experience for fans overall better? Because I'll tell you this. Well, here, let's start with your point. A couple of other ideas that you may have to make it better.
Going off of that, and I wish I could give credit to the person that I saw mention this on the Grizz Facebook page, but kind of going off what you were talking about, kind of having like a talent show, someone had mentioned on the Grizzly Facebook page about having local athletes come out and do like a dunk contest at halftime and kind of making it an event that lasts a couple months where you might have a certain amount of competitors come out and do a dunk contest and then they move on to each round. I thought that was a pretty cool idea. But kind of going off kind of the theme from yesterday's show where we talked about NBA 2K, you could actually have a 2K tournament. Now, that doesn't need to necessarily be something where the, you know, people go out and play NBA 2K in front of the entire arena on the court, but like out in the lobby, maybe before games or during halftime, they're having like a 2K tournament. Maybe there's some type of big prize at the end. I think would get a lot of people kind of just interested in coming out to do that, because 2K is one of the biggest video games around, and of course with basketball fans, it's probably the most popular video game. So if you can incorporate that into a game, I think that's going to get some people involved. I mean, the Grizzlies are already involved in the NBA 2K League with the Grizz Gaming, so they could easily kind of incorporate the Grizz Gaming team into that. I think it would be a kind of a fun event for a lot of people to join, because you can make a 2K tournament huge with hundreds of people and then just kind of have it dwindle down to a championship, which I think would be pretty cool. And I do want to definitely mention one. I was talking to my wife earlier, and I would be remiss if I did not mention her theme night idea. And you had mentioned earlier that I have two kids. I have two little girls, 2-year-old and 3-year-old. My wife says that the Grizzlies need to do a daddy daughter date night. And so she said that they could have a photo booth. There could be grizzly colored flowers that the girls would get, and the dads and their daughters can have like a cheeseburger somewhere set off to the side where they kind of have like a nice table set up for dads and daughters to do. So just a fun idea for getting the dads and their little girls to come out to a game. And I, of course, you know, I'm going to, any excuse I can get to a Grizzlies game, the better. So that's another theme night that I'll be going to a Grizzlies game.
I like the idea. I think that's the thing. Family, you know, family entertainment. I think that's a big thing. And the thing that I was going to say before, it made sense to, you know, make sure that we got all ideas out there on the table. This is important. And this is why there's such an emphasis, I think, from Jason Wexler specifically and the Grizzlies to try to become a model franchise when it comes to the business side of things. One thing that the Grizzlies have in town is they have more of a local market than a lot of NBA teams do. They also have a high caliber college team that is directly competing, and maybe not directly competing, but they have a true threat as to who is the biggest sports draw in their town. And that's obviously the Memphis Tigers. And let's not kid ourselves. The Tigers will be the biggest sports draw in town come this winter and probably going forward. Because of that, it's so important that the Grizzlies do everything that they can to remain relevant, even when, especially when, they're going to probably be some, you know, a few lean years where we do lose more than we win. The Tigers are going to be here to stay. They're going to win. And when the Grizzlies have the opportunity to be able to get fans to come, they need to do all that they can to make the fan experience as good as possible. So I do feel like these promotions and the decisions, the business decisions that are being made, they carry a little bit more significance going forward now with the Tigers being relevant again than they did in the past, especially with the Grizzlies trying to rebuild. So just some ideas to really make the game night experience as fun as possible. Grant, before we end tonight's show, do you have anything else you'd like to share?
No, I just had a great time. Second day in a row jumping on the podcast with you. I appreciate it.
Yep, and again, we want to thank Mark King for allowing for us to be able to do this in his absence. They're having a wonderful time on their vacation. Again, you can follow the Locked On Grizzlies at Locked On Grizz on Twitter. You can follow Mark King at King _ producer. You can follow Grant at GRANTTIS, and you also can follow me at Stats SAC. On Friday, when we come back, we will have some discussion. You know, a lot of exciting things. Speaking of promotions, a lot of exciting things going on in the NBA. We'll talk about one of the biggest promotional ideas that seem to be on tap across the league for the 2019-2020 season. And we'll also do a little bit of nostalgia. Me and Grant will go back and we will probably be, I don't know how many games we'll look at, but what we'll do for Friday is that we will go back through our history of games that we have attended, and we will try to pick the top five game experiences that we have had, you know, in our time as Grizzlies fans. Just a nice way to end our run here this week on the show, and also a stroll down memory lane, you know, to times that we hope this Grizzlies team will again arrive at in the near future. For Grant Hall, my name is Sean Coleman. Always a pleasure to join you. Thanks for listening to us here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.